Well, this morning we're doing December 15th. Oh, imagine that. Huh. 2019. Soon be 2020. Whoever thought, yeah. Yeah, 2020. I wonder if they're going to change their name. Well, this morning we're doing the lesson on God provides salvation from sin. And, of course, leading up to our next week's lesson about the birth of Christ. I better make sure that they have the birth of Christ. Yeah, the birth of the King. You never know. Sometimes the lesson just goes different directions. So when we think of providing God's provision for salvation, we, you know, of course, we think of Jesus Christ and what Christ has accomplished for us. But the lesson deals with a couple of aspects. One is that in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, and the entrance of sin, and then of course the birth of Christ, and then Paul's letter that, you know, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we need a Savior. So we have sin coming, we have the Redeemer coming, and then we have that we have to receive Christ as our Savior. So in case we don't get to the very end, that's where you want to go. Get to the point of where Christ has saved you from your sin. So Christ is the one then, through Christ, that Christ has offers to us salvation. Paul captures this thought. He says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And I think a very important part of that statement is not counting their trespasses against them. So when God comes to save us, he doesn't look at how bad we are. He looks at our need of being saved. He looks at our need for salvation, that we need to be rid of that original sin. We need to be, that sin of our life needs to be taken away. So there isn't, like, in God's, in Christ's coming, it isn't that he came to save the worst of the people. He came to save all people. And he was not counting their trespasses against them, that he wasn't looking at how bad they are. He's looking at that the whole humanity needs saved, forgiven, restored, there it is, that they need to be restored from their lost condition. So when Christ comes into the world, when Christ came, he was coming to save the world, save those who are lost, and we're all lost. It is only from this view that the biblical story of salvation can be understood. The focus of the story is on what God did in Christ to provide salvation and how we may experience salvation. So what is it that God wants to do? So there's a whole, there'd be a good sermon. What is it that God wants to do? God wants to save us from our sins, which is to bring us back to this original place that we were created. You know, mankind was created. Adam and Eve were created to walk with God, and, you know, and to be their friend, his friend with friend. And so the reason that Christ came is that providing salvation to remove the sin of our life, then provide restoration, restore us to what we were intended to be, and then to bring about his purpose and will for our life through our life. So, you know, all of those things fit into the salvation story. So we have to understand how we got here, but also understand that Christ doesn't just save us to continue to be who we are where we're at and do the things we've always done and say we're going to heaven. there's a lot of people, you know, that I don't need to go any further. There's a lot of people who think there's no problem with them, you know. Everybody else has got a problem. So the passion, the resurrection of Christ, occupy a major place in the four Gospels. So the week before the crucifixion, the the garden, the whipping, the beating, the crucifixion, and the resurrection, all four gospels, that's the focus of the gospel. And, you know, in the early church, they didn't celebrate the birth of Christ. They were focused on the resurrection of Christ. For without the resurrection, the birth means nothing. So that if Jesus did not raise from the dead, then it doesn't matter that he was born of a virgin. It doesn't matter that he was, you know, came in fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament. He must be resurrected from the dead. If you believe in the resurrection, you can believe in the virgin birth. So, what else we got here? I got a message. It's from God. He's texting me. I wonder what God has to say. Let's see here. Find out what the keys to look for in tonight's game against the Steelers and the Bills. So you almost thought that was a message from God, huh? Find out what the keys are to living a fulfilled life in Christ. So if you want a hint, don't put the Steeler app on your phone. Because they send you messages every day, and then they on Sunday or on game day, they send them all day long, you know. So I don't know why I put it on there in the first place. But anyhow, that'd be neat. God, so get us, God, I wonder if God has an app. You know, what would he tell us? You know, we're going along, it's a bad day, you know, it's not going to work. Bing, oh, hey, look up, David. You know, so I wonder, maybe well, I don't know. God invented an app, okay, but he did, the Holy Spirit. All right, so anyhow. All right, so the passion, the resurrection, that's the focus. If there is no death of Christ, there can be no resurrection. And so the resurrection then puts us to understand the virgin birth. So the central truth of the lesson then is that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. We all need a Savior. Jesus is the Savior, and salvation is received by us. All right, we have to receive it into our life. So we are in Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, I believe. Do you ever have a talking snake? We're not together that long. Yeah. So, the serpent. You know, when people have these snakes and stuff, they curl, you know, it's like that's just repulsive, you know, to me. Snakes are like repulsive, and you know, it's like, why are snakes so repulsive? You know. This one person showed up at the hospital. It was an ex-wife of someone, you know, and they came to visit them. And they were saying, oh, how kind this person is, oh, how kind it is. And I says, yeah, she's like a pet cobra. He goes, what? Never mind. You have a pet cobra? So, beautiful. So if you really know somebody that's nasty, they're like a pet cobra, you know? Maybe I've been away too long. No. So. And the serpent said to the woman, you might know it'd be a woman a snake could talk to, you know? Right, Cliff? You're not going to answer that. Nancy's too close. Okay. So, and the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. Now, this is the Satan has not changed his address to humanity from the very beginning. Because humanity, being human, gives us the ability to choose. We have the ability to choose. And what Eve was tempted to do was to to leave what God had given for something that might be better. Okay? Now, in her defense, in Adam's defense, they didn't know good and evil. They only knew good. So they were from a position of good, and you know, this is where good was not good enough, because the human nature is to want more. And the same temptation that Satan brought to Eve is the same temptation that he himself went through. I can be like God. Why should all the worship go to God when I'm just as beautiful and as powerful as he is? So I think people should worship me. And you think about people in our society, they want to be like gods. There are some people that just, they want to be like gods. They want to rule over other people's lives. Well, anyhow. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Well, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, the temptations are the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Lust of the eyes, it looks good. Lust of the flesh, it's going to feel good. And the pride of life, it's going to make me more than what I am. So the three temptations that are presented here are the same three temptations, the three categories all temptations fall into. Lust of the eyes, looks good, feels good, it's going to make me more than what I am. And if we see how the devil works through things, but you see, when God works through things, it brings honor and glory to God and to us. You see, when the Spirit moves through us, the Spirit is changing us and renewing us and renewing a right spirit within us, and the Holy Spirit is working in us, and we're seeing God more clearly, more, you know, that we understand things differently. And, you know, there are trials and things that we go through, but there's always, with an understanding, there's something at the end that is greater than where we're at. But the idea of sin is going to, it's gratification now. It's going to give me power now. I'm going to look good. I'm going to feel good. It's going to make me important. All right. So the sin of the first parents had fatal consequences for them and for us. The biblical account of creation describes all creation as very good. All right. When this idea of very good is, that it's perfect. There isn't a better place to be. If we lived in a perfect society, we'd be in the Garden of Eden. And there is no perfect society, there is no perfect group, and there is no perfect family, there is no perfect person. So it's how that we deal with the imperfections that we have and how we deal with the imperfections that other people have. It isn't our ability to see what's wrong with other people. It's our ability to see how God can give us grace and mercy to overcome or go beyond the faults of other people. Because Jesus, remember here, what was it that he did not count their trespasses against them. He was not counting their sins against them. So we're not counting their sin against them. But we do. you know what that person does? What have we done? We've counted their sin and we use it against them. And what God is saying and what God did, he didn't look at, do you know those sinful people? Do you know what they did? No. He doesn't look at that. He looks beyond it because it's like the saying, he looks beyond our faults and sees our need. He isn't looking at how bad we are. He's looking at what we can become in the original intent for which he created us. So we can't use in our argument against God for taking us and leading us somewhere, we can't use our sin. Because he did not count our sin against us when he planned our life. Write that one down. He did not count our sin against us when he planned our life. I should write that down. Because we look at our faults and we look at our failures and we look at how all the crazy things that go wrong. And I heard this illustration. I heard these two elephant illustrations. Ready? I may use them later. I may not. Probably forget. But an elephant is probably the largest land mammal, and it is one of the strongest animals. But if you take a baby elephant, put a chain on its leg, put a stake in the ground, it'll learn that it can't pull that out of the ground. So when it is strong enough to lift thousands of pounds, it won't pull that 2-foot stake out of the ground because it knows it can't. And what those are, those stakes and those ropes or chains, are our mental perceptions of what we can and cannot do, what we have always done, and there are options before us, but we can't do them because we've got this perception. Amen. So we've got this perception about who we are, what we can do, and we go no further. Right? So the idea is we have the strength and the ability and everything we need to break the chains. Remember the scripture says that Jesus he breaks the cords that bind us. That the chains that hold us in place, he has broken. So it's not only the chains of sin, it's the chains of perception and the changes that we have already established in our thinking. And so whenever and I'm talking about it later, but when the angel comes to Mary and says, Mary, you're going to have a baby, and you're not going to know a man. Well, it's my understanding, you know? But you see, her understanding was correct, but God made the difference. See, it is even some of our ropes that hold us are true ropes, okay? They may be true things. We may have lived through them, but it doesn't mean God can't break them and do it another way, okay? So that's the mental thing. And then there's this other one. I like this one. The elephant and the mouse are good friends, and they're walking along, and they come to this rickety old bridge. And the mouse says to the elephant, you know, can I have a ride? And the elephant says, sure, gets up. So the little mouse crawls up the leg and up onto the back of the elephant. They go across this bridge, and it's shaking and cricking and creaking and whatever. And they make it to the other side, and the mouse looks at the elephant and says, boy, we made that bridge shake. Because the mouse had never made a bridge shake before. So, in our life, we're the mouse, I think, and the elephant is God. If you want to make the enemy shake, ride God. Get on the promises of God and allow the promises of God to make the devil shake. Yeah? And you can make other applications to that too. So, those are my two elephant stories. So dwelling in a perfect, beautiful environment. Okay, so we, you know, if we lived in a better place, if we had this, if we had that, we wouldn't be tempted the way we are. If we were rich as, or if we were poor as, if we were had this, if we had that, we would, you know, no. It, you know, you can be in the perfect environment and still be tempted to sin. i.e. Adam and Eve. Perfect environment. Even walking with God, in every day, at the end of the day, God comes and you and he are walking together. You have a perfect relationship with God. and living in a perfect place. I'll never be tempted. No. So temptation is common to us. And was Jesus was tempted. So choosing to act through the serpent, Satan chose to act through the serpent. He sought to destroy Eve's faith in God. All right? So Eve's faith in God was her recollection of his word. So you wonder, well, why is it important that we have to go to church and hear the sermons and hear the scriptures and hear all that? Because there are so many people that have bits and pieces of the scripture and they have a recollection of God's word that isn't quite true. I mean, how many times have we heard money is the root of all evil? That's a snippet, but it's not the truth. It's the love of money. It's easier for a rich man to get into, it's easier for, rich man getting into heaven than as a camel to get through the eye of a needle, okay? So the idea is that it's almost impossible for the rich to get to heaven because they trust in riches. So whoever you're trusting in, so poor trust in riches also. But so it's what you trust in. So when you learn to trust in something, you then depend upon it. So if we trust in ourselves, we trust in the government, we trust in this, we trust in the job, we need to trust in God, and God works through all of these circumstances. So apparently away from her husband, Eve, was apparently away from her, but near the forbidden tree. I'm going to spend all day on this because this was important. Near the forbidden tree. Whenever we're not near our sin, the things that are tempting to us, the temptation's not there. It's like a person who is an alcoholic going to the bar to drink soda. Excuse me, what are you doing in there? It doesn't happen, You can't go there. It's your weakness. That's your temptation. If you've never been an alcoholic and never drank, going and witnessing in the bar and having sodas, probably not a bad, it's okay. No temptation there. But I remember the story of the guy. He was an alcoholic, and he was an avid, he used to love boxing matches on TV. So he had been saved for maybe 10, 15 years, and he was all enthralled in this boxing match, And he's all excited and whatever. The bell rang. He jumped out of the chair and went over the refrigerator and reached for a beer. 15 years. And he said, what happened? When the bell rang, it brought things back to his mind that he used to do but doesn't do anymore. You see, that's the challenge, is that we need to recognize those temptations were going to rear themselves up, and we need to recognize them for what they are. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with the person. It just means that we have that conditioned rope and elephant experience. So the devil says, he first of all, he misrepresents God. Is it really true that God said, you must not eat from any tree of the orchard? Okay? The devil knows the word of God. He was created by it. And he knew what God had said because he misquoted it. Is it really said that God said, you cannot eat from any tree in an orchard? Well, in defense of God, Eve speaks up. Eve answered the serpent in a full account. And only the fruit of the tree that was forbidden, that one right there, we're not allowed to eat of that one. So there's no danger in eating of all the other trees. It's just that one we're not allowed to eat. And Eve was confident of what God had said. But then she added something. We can eat of any tree except that tree right there. We're not allowed to eat of it, and we're not even allowed to touch it. Now, do you see what we've done with God, with God's commands? He tells us not to eat of it. He didn't say touching it was going to destroy you. He said eating it would be. But they had come to the conclusion that if I don't touch it, I won't eat it. So eating it is a sin, so touching it is a sin. I think that's where sometimes people's their ideas of what, you know, where you're allowed, what you're allowed to do, and you know what you're allowed to wear, and where you're, you know, all the types of things comes from that type of association. That God says you can't do this, so therefore you can't do that. God says don't eat, and they say, well, we're not going to touch. Well, so touching becomes as much of sin as eating. And it wasn't what God said. So, in short, the serpent accused God of lying. And called in question the truth of God's word. He kind of, for Eve, she was, hath God really said? Did you really hear that right? And then, of course, when you add something onto it, well, no, he didn't say touch. Did he say not eat either? So, within sight of the fruit, the woman has been assured there will be no loss, there will be no losers. And that is a great, great temptation of sin. There's no loser in this. If you sin, what does it matter? No one's going to get hurt. It's not really that bad. There's no losers in this. You know, we can eat of all the other trees. Everybody else is doing this. What does it matter? There's no loser in all this. Did I really hear it straight? So, the fruit was pleasant to the eyes. You know what? Now that I look at it, it looks different than all the others. And the serpent assured that eating it would improve everything for her. You know, if you just do this one sin, if you just do this one thing, your life is going to be better. All right. So, She could not imagine the pleasure and the power that she would gain. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Do you know how good this is going to make you? Do you know how powerful you're going to become? So, with unlimited appetites and great wisdom and knowledge, just by eating this tree, eating the fruit of this tree, unlimited appetites and great wisdom. The promise of the serpent had reached this absurd nature. It is grandiose. It is glorious. It is going to be the fulfillment of all your dreams, everything that God has withheld from you. Okay, where are they at? They're in a perfect place, in a perfect environment, and having a perfect relationship with God. And the devil says, you can have more. The temptation. So at this point, Eve had become dissatisfied with her condition. You mean there's more that I can have? So this is where the commentary says, this is kind of a similar place that Satan had come to before his rebellion. There must be more to this. So the same temptations that broke him and got to him about his life and his service to God in heaven and his worship of God and all the other angels and things, all the stuff that came to him and his, you know, lust of the eyes, lust of his flesh, his angel flesh, and pride of life, he's going to be proud, better than what he is, more than what he is. That's what caused him to be blinded to what he was doing. So convinced by the serpent that God's intention for forbidding the eating of the fruit was invalid, that God was not looking out for her. He was really withholding from her. Eve saw no harm in eating the fruit. And her dingbat husband comes crawling along. What do you want, Eve? Here, eat this. Oh, yeah, sure, darling. What is it? Don't worry, just eat it. I don't know if Adam was a dingbat, but I just thought I'd throw that in there. See, you see, I always pick on the women. Well, I'm picking on the guy now. He's equal opportunity, yes. Yeah. Well, woman, if you're dumb enough to eat it, so am I. Yeah. Here, eat this. Adam and Eve realized that they were naked. In that moment, they had shame and grief. The truth of what Satan was trying to, when he said your eyes will be opened, he didn't tell them what they would be opened to. And your whole knowledge of good and evil will change because now you will know grief and shame. Had they known what they were going to get from their actions, we would say, well, perhaps they wouldn't do it. Well, how many have got shame and grief? You know, why? Because we didn't know better. We were the dingbat, you know. Oh, here, eat this. Okay, yeah, sure. It's pleasant, looks good, feels good, but make me go on what I am. We're all in. So their act involved disbelief of God's word and rebellion against God's goodness and his mercy and his love. And you see, we often don't see the value of where we're at. And this is where the temptation is. We don't see the value of who we are and where we're at. And so we and that's why the Bible says, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What we are doing is thanking God for where we're at, knowing that God will lead us on. Well, if we're not grateful to God for where we're at, we will be open to the temptation of Satan that he's going to take us somewhere where we want to go, and it's going to make me look good, it's going to make me feel good, it's going to make me more than what I am. Because where I'm at is not good enough. You see, that's why we are to give thanks to God and thank him for his blessings and all the good things that he has come into our life and all the difficulties that have come into our life, because we're riding on the elephant. God is the one who's shaking the bridge, you know, not our teeny little powers, you know. So, any more thoughts on Adam and Eve? You're still cooking for the men. Yeah, preparing food. Here, dingbat, come and get this. And what do? Yes, dear. Yeah. Just eat it and shut up, you know. It looks good. It'll feel good. It's going to make you more than what you are. Eat it. You'll get over it. Yeah. I think we're going to go out for dinner today. But this story is one that I think is just, you know, reading it years ago and so on, wow, it's pretty obvious here. What, you know, Eve did this and that. You know, we do the same thing Adam and Eve did. Yeah. And I mean, we have an environment that we live in that, you know, it's pretty good. You know, there might be bad things going on, but compared to the rest of the world, we're in a wonderful place, because people left where they were at to come here to find religious freedom. And even though we got a lot of crazy things going on in our society and our world against God and all that garbage, we're still better off because of the people who came here looking for religious freedom. So it's built upon the shoulders of those who have gone before us. Well, what's going to be built on our shoulders for those who come after us? So, all right, verses in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous. So, remember I told the story of the lady, maybe that was Wednesday night I said that. There was a lady a waitress at Laurelview, and she said, we were talking to her about the guy was giving her a track, you know, and she said, I don't need that track, I don't need saved. And she says, well, I'm not that bad. I go home after work. It's like, well, you mean if you don't go home after work, that means you're a bad person, you know? So I'm not that bad. I go home after work, you know. I don't do anything bad, you know. But never got the idea that there is none righteous. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. So whenever we, like Eve and like Adam and Eve, we don't understand what evil consequences evil will bring. And that we don't understand how blessed we are to be forgiven. Because if we just look at it in a natural standing, we're not that good. We're not that bad. You know, I go to church, do this, do that, and you know, our life is pretty normal, you know. Why is it normal? Because this is your garden. This is your Eve, Adam and Eve. This is your perfect environment. Well, if this is perfect, well, consider what it would be without God. Consider what your life and your family and your home and all these places and the things around you and the people around you, what it would be like if God were not in it. We are in a perfect environment. There are lots of sin around us and there's lots of things going on, but don't be deceived. Don't fall for the, well, hath God really said? Evil is out there and it's saying that there's more for you to have. And God is saying, give thanks for what you've got and look and see how I will bless you and see how I will pour out blessing upon you. How that, you know, open the windows of heaven and pour upon you blessings which you cannot contain. So the devil does a shortcut. Do this evil and you will get. God says, do this good and you will receive. I'm getting, like God creating, getting, going after, but, you know, like the temptation. But God is saying, open your heart to my strength and my spirit, and you will be the mouse riding the elephant. You will be shaking the bridge. You will open the windows of heaven and pour upon yourself blessings that cannot be contained. But my life isn't working out. Doesn't matter. It will. See? So, there's none righteous. There's none that understand. There's none that seeketh after God. Why? Because of their fallen nature. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So if you put them all together, and you put all of humanity together, and left to their own abilities and own conscience and their own thing, it doesn't amount to anything. Why? Only what is done for Christ is going to make a difference in your life and the life of people around you. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So all these people have sinned, they've fallen short. Wherefore, as by one man, so this is how it all comes down. By one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So in Adam, all sin. For the wages, I always like this one, for the wages of sin, people must earn the right to go to hell. You think of it that way? You earn wages. If you earn a wage, it means you're doing something. You earning the paycheck. You earn the right to get that check. Well, here, the wages of sin. You earn the right to all of hell's punishment and separation and sin. But the gift of God, see, looks good, feels good, make me more than what I am, pride of life, pride, pride, pride. The gift of God is we must be willing to put aside our pride and our sense of godness in us, that we, little g, godness in us, that we are then receiving the gift of eternal life. And what goes along with the gift of eternal life? The gift of God's promises. What has God promised us? Blessing, security, windows of heaven, sowing and reaping, all things working together for good. You see what's going on? These are gifts to us. These are gifts to us. So when we receive Christ as our Savior, we're receiving not only the gift of eternal life, we are receiving all of the gifts of the Spirit. We're receiving all of the fruits of the Spirit. We're receiving all of the promises of God in our life. We have an abundance of blessing and favor and guidance and everything in our life that we could ever imagine and can't even imagine. It has not entered into the hearts and minds of those, you know, of those who God loves, what God has prepared for them. You haven't even begun to think and to dream about what God has planned for you. So you see, we earn the right to go to hell, but you see, we transfer that over and think, I'm not good enough to receive what God wants to give me. Well, none of us are. No one is. It's all a gift. We must be willing to receive the gift. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you for the gift of yourself, and how that you have watched over us and keep us, and Lord, you've bestowed this wonderful gift of salvation. So bless us, bless this day, bless our work for you and your divine favor in our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.